Hey everyone, it's The Takeaway with Tanzina Vega, and it's great to be with you. Major League Baseball playoffs begin today, and the league and its players' union are doing a little introspection with regards to who's actually out on the field. This month, the two organizations donated $10 million to the Players Alliance, a nonprofit group made up of over 100 current and former black players, which formed in the wake of the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And that money will be used to help recruit young black players to the sport. And that's important to note because Major League Baseball has a deficit of African American players right now. Only 8% of the league is African American, compared to nearly 19% back in the 1980s. And the front office situation isn't much better. Bradford William Davis is a sports columnist covering Major League Baseball for the New York Daily News, and he joins me now. Bradford, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So let's start with a complicated question. Why is it that Major League Baseball has such a lack of black players right now?
To distill it as quickly as possible, there is a significant barrier of entry to playing baseball on the youth level. Travel ball, which ends up being a significant showcase for amateur, adolescent, teenager, you know, high school talent, that costs a lot of money to play. And given the gross economic disparity between black Americans and white Americans, of course, there's going to be a disparity reflected in who gets to actually be at those things. Major League Baseball does do some things, you know, on that end, and this $10 million donation between the league and the Players Association, being the baseball union, is supposed to address some of that, but it is not sufficient, and as you can see by the utter lack of black participation. And that flows upwards. I mean, you know, colleges do not give out scholarships to the same degree as they do for basketball or football, which makes it harder again for a historically and presently disadvantaged group to justify going to college, even an elite D1 program, if they have to pay for most or all of it, when they may have athletic talent elsewhere that could actually, you know, pay their way through. Those are significant reasons, and you know, that leads to a culture that is perceived, and rightfully so, as very white dominant, which makes it very uncomfortable to be a black player on any level, from the youth level to professional minor league or Major League Baseball.
One trend, however, that has changed the literal face of baseball has been the increase of Latino players, many of them coming from out of the country. Some of these players are themselves black. They are Afro-Latino. Where do they fit into this?
First of all, it is wonderful to see the explosion of Latin talent in baseball. That is, their obvious love and gifting at the sport is extremely good and welcoming, and adds so much to what makes MLB fun when it is fun. At the same time, you know, even though many of those players actually do hail from the African diaspora, you know, they aren't, at least in the front-facing way, you know, sort of embracing anything from the disproportionate amount of black people in the game of baseball, whether in, you know, again, rosters or front offices or whatever, to the current civil rights causes that affect black people, regardless of your country of origin. They're just not present for that. They aren't really at the forefront of this. They're not speaking out with the same regularity that you see, that you're starting to see black players, you know, speak out on issues that affect, you know, the game and affect, you know, the political world outside of it.
I should just reiterate that some of those players are themselves black, but I guess the bigger issue, those players, a lot of them are also sourced from outside of the United States. I don't know if that might have anything to do with what you're describing.
I think it does, Cinzina. I mean, I don't say that with, you know, lack of empathy, because, I mean, you know, there is a privilege that comes with being a United States citizen that I think gives you a little bit more freedom with which to speak out about things that matter to you without feeling like any sort of retribution may come. I think that's a very understandable sort of fear and concern. However, there's also a lot of anti-blackness across, you know, the Latin diaspora, not, which again is not unique to any place in the world, I guess, but it's certainly true, you know, among many Latin countries that have, you know, black folks in it. And so I think that that is a real part of it as well, of just, you know, not identifying in a sort of social way with African-American players.
Bradford, who are the Players Alliance?
Well, there is a coalition of black current and former players that banded together this year, really, to address issues primarily inside, but sometimes outside of the game as well. I think they are seeking a pathway to make sure that there is a future for black people in this game, you know, one where they do not feel pushed out, where they don't have to be the only person on their roster, the only person on their minor league team. That's very hard. It's very isolating, you know, and also because they believe that baseball brings joy and brings opportunities, you know, even if you don't make it to the league, it's like it's a good and beautiful thing to be a part of, you know, and they want to bring that to communities that have had baseball, largely due to cultural and economic reasons dovetailing together, taken away from them, especially when it becomes a more competitive thing. And as you get older, but you're still a child. So, that is the Players Alliance. It's Black current and former players seeking to change the game from within.
The Players Union and Major League Baseball donated $10 million to the Players Alliance. Is that enough?
Look, I mean, always take the money, right? I'm very happy that they have this investment from both their union and the league to do some of the things that matter to them, including, again, diversifying the game on the youth level. I think that is extremely important work and can really benefit a lot of kids. Do I think that in and of itself, will change the game to a place where it is sort of in a positive sense reflective of the country and the many people that make it up? I don't think so. I think there's a lot more time and money that needs to be spent in that. Not just recruitment in a branding sense, but but in creating huge, large pathways that address every single sort of impediment that a young, talented Black athlete might face when they're deciding between baseball or basketball or baseball and football. 10 million won't fix 400 years of disparity.
And I mean, I'm a baseball fan. I enjoy the pace of the game. I think it's a very soothing game to watch, and Frank. But I think there are lots of people who say it's just boring and it doesn't really elicit the same type of excitement as the ones that you just mentioned, football, basketball, for example. Could that be another reason why folks are just not as attracted to the sport right now?
I mean, I can understand why some might argue that baseball is boring. Maybe it's a worse product. I'd say I have two points to that, though. One is football is slow as hell. Like, come on.
I agree.
I think that is wildly overblown. I'm a Jets fan, so I know football can be very boring if you have the right or wrong amount of talent, involved in it. And there's lots of stops and starts in that. But I also think that the way that Black and Latino players as well play the game, they play it with a lot more joy and freedom. You see a guy like Tim Anderson, he plays the game like baseball is fun to be played. A lot of, unfortunately, a lot of the game has been so stoic in its nature, but that doesn't necessarily make the most entertaining product. And that stoicism is enforced where if you celebrate your wins too much, you pump your fist too much, you do a bat flip, you hit a grand slam, while already up, like Fernando Tatis Jr. did a couple months ago, you could see yourself, getting retaliated against with a ball to your butt or your head or whatever, and that discourages, the beauty of competition, of being great at what you do, of celebrating your wins, the kind of stuff that makes for great photos and great videos and great sports center clips that is so often in baseball more than basketball or football, especially basketball, discouraged. And that's a shame. But again, you have more of us, I think you would begin to see a change in the kind of culture over what gets celebrated, what gets penalized, hopefully a lot less. Different people being their whole, full, authentic selves whenever they step to the plate or on the mound or in the field. That is, I think, what helps baseball sell itself a lot more and makes it sort of a cool thing that kids might enjoy a little bit more. So, pace of play is a problem. I'm not saying it's not, but it is in football. But there are many other intersecting issues that lead to baseball being less popular or declining in popularity.
Bradford William Davis is a sports columnist covering Major League Baseball for the New York Daily News. Bradford, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.